Welcome to the Bhaktivedanta Ashram at Govardhan Hill. We're here on this bittersweet day, a celebration which is at the same time somber, and we will be invoking remembrances of Srila Prabhupada and from the hearts of his faithful followers. After everyone's had a chance to speak this morning, we'll have a Pushpanjali ceremony in this hall, followed by kirtan, and then there will be a prasadam feast. So we'll be calling various devotees to come up and sit in this seat and make their offerings to Srila Prabhupada. And first we will sing Jayani Rod Prema Dana. First, I'd like to call His Holiness Jai Vaidyaswami. Please come and speak. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Sanatana Guru Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
In his last days, Srila Prabhupada used to ask, how will everything go on? Or different ways of asking that question. Will everything go on? Will you maintain? How will everything go on? That was his concern or anxiety. How will things go on? Because when Srila Prabhupada was here, he was personally pushing everything. He was personally not pushing everything, pushing some things and cutting other things. That's the duty of the acharya. To establish sattva devotional service to Krishna. And that means also you
Pratikul yasya arjan, rejecting everything which is unfavorable for pure devotional service. The tendency of the conditioned souls is to be attracted toward sense gratification and mental speculation. And under different pretexts to push forward with those agendas in the name of philanthropy, humanitarianism, national interest, family interest, responsibility, compassion, financial necessity, one or another, so many. Arjuna, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he gave a whole litany of sinful activities will overcome us, and women will be polluted, and no one will offer sacrifice to ancestors, and so many different reasons. Better for them to kill us unarmed than for us to kill them. Just because they're greedy, that doesn't mean that we should be greedy. So many different ways Arjuna proposed for justifying his own sense gratification in terms of the material bodily concept of life. And that tendency is there. Of course, the gross materialist government hardly need anything to justify it. They have simple slogans, just go for it. Be the most you can be, or whatever. And those who are more philosophically inclined or morally inclined try to justify things in terms of the mundane values. And when that becomes mixed with religious principles, then it's called Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. Cheating religion means some ordinary ritualistic rules and regulations with the focus on prosperity, economic advancement, getting money to keep things going. And the money is good because the money can be used to gratify our desires. And when we're frustrated in all of those things, then impersonal liberation becomes the target. This is called Kaitavism. And it can take many, many forms, so many colorful varieties of programs or ideologies aimed at gross or subtle individual or extended sense gratification. Mind is very powerful and can think up so many ideas and so many justifications. Pramati Bhava Krishna. Chanchalati Bhava Krishna Pramati Bhava Krishna. Tasyaham Nigraham Manye Vayuri Vishudhishthira. If that's a telephone, then it's the sign that it's time for a telephone check. All the telephones should be in silent mode or off. shall be one well done to keep you. There's one of these leaders. I don't know any Russian. The business of the acharya is to spread pure devotional service to Krishna. Anyam vilashita shunyam. Sarvadharmam pratyajam. Everything else nullified. Srila Prabhupada was radical that way. No credit to anyone. No credit to the scientists. No credit to the philanthropists. No credit to the religious leaders. No credit to the social welfare workers, no credit to the great philosophers, no credit to the impersonalists, no credit to anyone. Their only credit, namaste shrikana mukta prabhudente karata, mayana pitakana asura bhavanashita. You don't surrender to Krishna, then you're a fool, you're an ass, you're a miscreant, you're the lowest of men, you're erudition has been stolen by the material energy. You're a rascal. Prabhupada gave no credit to mundane anything other than the devotional service of Krishna. There was some book during Prabhupada's time, I'm okay, you're okay. The theme was that, yeah, whatever I'm doing is all right, whatever you're doing is all right. We can all cooperate and love one another because we can just accept that, well, you have your point of view, I have my point of view, it all works out, everything's good. Prabhupada said his philosophy was, I'm okay, you're not okay. Krishna's philosophy that without surrendering to me, you're not okay. You're one of these dushpati, one of these rascals. So Prabhupada didn't leave room for Gyanakarmani and Adi. Gyanakarmani, Gyana and Karma, and so on. Mundane achievement for material progress or mental speculation for different ideas about the truth, different ideas about the purpose of human life, different ideas about what we should do, what we shouldn't do, what's good, what's bad. Yashastra didn't do a good job. Part of the day, Kamakaras, Nasasitin, Malaknotin, Sukham, Parangitin, Tasmach, Shastra, Praman, Te, Karda, Karda, Vivas, Ketva, Shastra, Vitango, Karma, Karda, Viharsi, Karma, Nishaksha, Bhagavad, Pranita. But Krishna says, that's our duty, that's all. That was Prabhupada's position. Whatever is favorable for devotional service. And what's favorable is what's stated in Shastra. And Srila Prabhupada personally gave realized direction as to what is Shastra, what is Shastra. So many books, so many different things were said. There's so many different books, so many different shastras. And Thakur Pratishtha, everyone's a magician, everybody's got a different argument. Everyone can get on the internet and say, but the result of it all is a Pratishtha, nothing gets established. Thakur Pratishtha, just arguing, wasting time. Sanat Kumar, I think, someplace worth paying for hotels. Kutub Maharaj. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy different philosophers debate with one another, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, and always losing sight of who they are and what the actual purpose of life is. From Tarkar Pratishtha, nothing is settled by wrangling. And Shruta Ivadinna, there are so many different statements in Shastra. Masad Visharasya Matamadinna. And everyone has a different opinion. Even thoughtful men all have different ideas. This Krishna consciousness is not such a an obvious thing. It's the most obvious thing. Sarvatarvan prasit, but one should surrender to Krishna. I'm giving up everything else. But what actually is the path of devotional service can be confusing, bewildering, tricky, because we've been conditioned by the illusory energy since time immemorial. Therefore, Mahajaniyan Katasakanta, one has to follow the path chalked out by the great person. There are so many great persons in this world. Prabhupada has a purport where he talks about that. In the estimation of different mundane men, they all have their great persons. Some great politician, some great sense gratifier, some great talker, some great magician. They'll all be great in someone's estimation. But actually, Mahajan means one who surrendered to Krishna. Mahatmana Sumam Parta Dhyayam Parthasam Shita. Bhajanjana Dhyana, so Gyapa Bhutana. Someone who knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is 100% engaged in the service of Krishna. He's great. Ye Faje Shevala of Bhaktivin Chakra. So the pure devotee of Krishna is great. And among pure devotees, Śrīla Prabhupāda was specifically great. There may be, there's no restriction that there could only be one pure devotee, two pure devotees. Mahatma Sudhurva devotees are rare, but there can be many pure devotees. But among pure devotees, Śrīla Prabhupāda was extraordinary. Those who are pure devotees will appreciate, will honor Śrīla Prabhupāda and his accomplishments. Only those who are dull or envious or fail to honor Śrīla Prabhupāda's contribution. And those who are actually pure-hearted will appreciate that no one could have done what Śrīla Prabhupāda did. Just historically, what Śrīla Prabhupāda accomplished, what Śrīla Prabhupāda instituted, starting from nothing. Now so many Vrindavan has become, all the Vrindavan merchants have become rich because so many farmers are coming from all over the world and spending money. for something connected to Krishna. But before Srila Prabhupada, no one came to Vrindavan. No one was interested in Vrindavan. And outside of India, no one was interested in Krishna except in some scholastic sense or historical sense, or maybe they see some poster and Krishna looks very cool. But no one understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that everyone is Krishna's servant. No one understood that, even among those who understood that there was that materialistic life is problematic, there was no understanding that the problem is solved by surrendering to Krishna. There may be, of course, the gross schools will think everything's all right for the enjoy. But some fortunate persons will think this doesn't work, material life doesn't work, the world doesn't work. But that doesn't solve the problem, they'll just be more frustrated. And there'll be various cheaters waiting to pounce on them and mislead them into some solution that doesn't work. But Srila Prabhupada gave the right thing, pure devotional service. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. The proper cultivation of pure devotional service, not just pure devotional service, here it is, become a pure devotee. And love Krishna with spontaneous ecstasy. That's all right if we can do that. But there must be some process to go from gross conditioned life to pure devotional service. There must be some process. And that process must be very carefully followed. Srila Prabhupada used a quote from the Upanishads, that the path of realization is like a razor's edge. A little inattention and blood. So it's a process. Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Purana, Pancha, Shabana, Dhamma, and Kantiki, Kaya, Bhakti, Vipassaya, Dhamma. One has to go by the authoritative direction of Vedic literature. Otherwise, one will be off track and lost. Mahajanayena Gita Subhanta. Srila Prabhupada personally showed the path out of this material world. He didn't invent the path, but he was following. Mahajan means who follows the previous Mahajans. Srila Prabhupada did that and made that path available in extraordinary ways, or to extraordinary extent, with extraordinary personal qualities that attracted fortunate persons to his Krishna consciousness movement. Oh, Mahajan, one has to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajan. And Srila Prabhupada was concerned, how will this movement go on? How will this movement go on? Maya, Mama Maya Dureshya, Maya is very powerful. If one surrenders to Krishna, one can cross over the hurdles understanding of the Krishna is also not very easy. What is that? By myself, I won't be able to follow the process of my kirtan. Simply by one's self, one can't go on chanting Hare Krishna. So one has to get the mercy of the pure devotee by strictly following the instructions given by the pure devotee. And that also one should do in the association of devotees. One should chant Hare Krishna and follow the path of the Mahajana in the association of devotees. That also Srila Prabhupada instructed many times, that individually we can become very weak, and then naivai follow harinam shankirtan. But in association of devotees, there's spiritual strength. And that also, one should recognize who's advanced in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada advises, we should discriminate those who are less advanced, those who are equally advanced, those who are more advanced. Those who are less advanced, we should be compassionate to, even if they propose so many foolish and stupid ideas. We should be compassionate to them, either by giving them good instructions or by ignoring them, or sometimes by trouncing their foolish arguments. One should be compassionate to them, giving the advice, by encouraging them or by ignoring them, or by coming down. Not cutting them down, but cutting down their wrong ideas. One should be kind to them. And devotees on the equal level, we should be friendly with and take advantage of their friendly association. Hear from them and inquire from them. Share our minds with them, exchange for sovereign gifts. And those who are more advanced, we should serve and take direction from. In Vector of Devotion, it said that a principle of devotional service is to seek out devotees who are more advanced, to associate with devotees. Otherwise, if we associate with those only who are less advanced or on our own level, how will we make progress? We'll stay on the same level or go down. So we should associate especially with those who are more advanced so that we can make progress, so that we can make progress. And more advanced also, you should be careful that in the name of, there are so many more advanced devotees who are not more advanced. Prabhupada was warning us, don't go to Radhika. Or if someone had gone, why has he gone? Who has given him permission? Who did they speak with? Call the BBC. Why are they going? They're going to be coming to meet the advanced devotees, to make progress. The Prabhupada is very careful. Prabhupada is very careful. We can be misled very easily. So, and who's advanced, who's not advanced? Maybe difficult to understand. But we should follow in Śrīla Prabhupāda's footsteps. He's our standard of advancement. He's our standard of super advancement. He sets the standard for the whole world of super advancement in Krishna consciousness. There are so many other people, so many other things, so many others. But Śrīla Prabhupāda is our standard of pure devotional service. And therefore we try to see what Śrīla Prabhupāda, what path Śrīla Prabhupāda chalked out for us. And follow that in the association of devotees. Chant Hare Krishna. In one sense, Prabhupada made it very easy. Don't look for something esoteric, something extraordinary, something new. People ask, can you tell us the secret of chanting, or secret of this, secret of that? There's no secret. Chant Hare Krishna, avoid 10 offenses, follow the 4 regular principles, rise early in the morning. So many things, Prabhupada said, nothing secret. But when we do it, then the result will be there. When we follow the process, faithfully. So it's an extraordinary thing, bhakti lata bij. After wandering through lifetimes and lifetimes, we come in touch with the pure devotee of Krishna. Individually, and the world after generations and generations gets such great fortune as to have Śrīla Prabhupāda come and establish pure devotional service. And then he stays for some time and then goes. And then we have to take it seriously. How will things go on? And make it our business that things should go on as he directed, as he wanted. And Yadi Raja is keeping it pure, keeping it as it is.
Thank you. We've done it this one. So.
You won't come down?
Huh?
You won't come down?
No.
Why are you here? So when you started out, Swami, Hare Krishna.
See it all the time. What Prabhupada said, what Prabhupada saw, what Prabhupada wanted, it comes true. So there's different ways. I would actually invite the audience here perhaps to just do that meditation right now. Where have you seen Prabhupada's glories in the last 24 hours? And I think that glorification is a very important part of Prabhupada's glorification. It has to do with his legacy, how his teachings and movement are carried on. And I think perhaps that's the greatest glorification of a great acharya, or perhaps it's the proof of that person's potency that his teachings get carried on. I spoke about this last year in one yoga studio in the middle of Manhattan. There was an opening of that studio, and they invited some of the devotees to chant. And the people who were coming there, I knew some of the people, lawyers in New York, one person's an architect, respectable people. And I remember the kirtan, and it was the Mayapuris, and it was Gaurabani, and Janavi and all these, and probably a lot of the people in the audience were the same age, but there was a marked difference that people could see in the character, potency, and heart of these people, and the quality of their kirtan. It was quite astounding, and to see the response of everybody chanting and dancing and feeling that potency. And I remember after the kirtan, Kasupa turned to me, and he said something, and it struck me. He said, "Kuba Prabhupada has done this." And I think what he was referring to is Prabhupada's legacy. He had some deep, deep realization of the absolute truth. And he could realize that, and he can put it in the heart of people so that it carries on. And I think that's the proof. I even just appreciated, I certainly appreciated His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami's lecture. You know, it carries on. Prabhupada's teachings, Prabhupada's mood, how it was presented. And then you hear a follower sitting and repeating what the teacher said with realization. So that same force comes into your heart, that same influence comes into your heart. So I'd like to share with you some of the remembrances perhaps I had in the simple way of Prabhupada's glory. The most profound one happened perhaps just within the last 15 minutes. Because I've been coming here every year and doing this for about maybe 15, 20 years here. And generally doing it with the same people. And one of the most prominent members of the Govardhan community, I saw he's not here. And that's Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. And feeling how much we miss how he represented Prabhupada. And then I was thinking, what a wonderful remembrance of Prabhupada's glory, thinking of him, that here was a person who was such a gifted linguist. He was going to preach in China. He already could speak and write in Chinese. What a gifted linguist. But he didn't care about that. He didn't care about Sanskrit scholarship, for Sanskrit scholarship in itself. He cared about serving Srila Prabhupada and serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because he was a scholar, he used that. It's very, very unique to have such a talent and not be personally attached to it, to appropriate it to yourself, even in devotional service. Even we don't even have to try to do that. We have talents, we use it. It's so extraordinary, his level of service, and so extraordinary the result of that service. Because he was traveling, perhaps to China from Poland, only staying here for 2 days, and then leaves in Govardhan. What an extraordinary thing. And what a glorification of what Prabhupada gave, as His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj was expressing it. Mahajana yena katasa panta. You follow the Mahajans, and that's what Prabhupada did. And the potency is there. Now we see his followers following the Mahajans. And it works. You get the ultimate destination of Govardhan. That's the ultimate destination. Actually, that was Prabhupada's destination. One of the remembrances I have of Prabhupada in his room in the last days of him being here, very extraordinary thing, he just opened the doors 24 hours a day, knowing that the movement would best continue by those who had a deep attachment to him. And therefore he gave his personal association. And we saw in his room Chaitanya Charitamrita. The one time I was sitting there in the room, it's a long story, but somehow I think Prabhupada had a dream about a Kaviraj or some medicine, and then someone came in from Delhi and saying, you know, I was with my friend, and we met this Kaviraj, and it was a Ramanuja Kaviraj, had that particular tilak with this special medicine. Whatever it was a very unique story. And I remember Tamal Krishnamar sitting at the feet of Srila Prabhupada and saying to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, this is like Chaitanya Charitamrita. The character of the life force in immortality, just pure surrender and service. So I remember one day being there, and then Prabhupada said, I would like to go to Govardhan. Which is kind of significant, because Prabhupada didn't so often express things so internal, knowing how much they can be abused by people who don't have the frame of reference to understand them. But I want to go to Govardhan. I want to go to Govardhan. So that's in Prabhupada's heart. That was his destination. And here is a person that attains that destination. So I just was going to share, it's spontaneously that came up, just a few things. I was yesterday on Parikram. I was at Prema Sarovara. And there was a group, I guess from Ahmedabad. And so many devotees. And so many enthusiastic people, and so many people with deep things. And, you know, I was just looking and just seeing that, especially in India, Prabhupada's legacy is being carried on in such a profound way in so many places. And then I remember I had a group, and they were basically, I didn't know how new they were. I thought they had more experience than they did. And then, you know, I said, you know, today we're going to go from Jawad, and we're going to go to Terkandamba, and we're going to go to here. And Jawad was the place where Radharani got married. And then one person said to me, I didn't know that Radharani was married. So I have this, wow, I have a lot of work to do now to be able to explain the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But then I understood that Prabhupada did that work. I understood. I looked at these people and I'm saying, if they don't come to Prabhupada, they don't come in that kind of line from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, how will they understand these things? If Prabhupada, systematic. The 10th canto is there. There's 9 other cantos before. And it's systematic. You study them. You read them. You become detached. You get philosophical understanding. If you don't become detached, and then you hear things without the proper frame of reference of some type of devotion or renunciation, you'll see them as mundane. And if you don't have the proper philosophical understanding, you'll see them as like mythological, even if you're a devotee. So I was just another appreciation. Yes, the legacy of Prabhupada's carrying on, and he gave the method and the process for people today to understand it. Then one other, while I was in this process, I had read yesterday night a diary that His Holiness Satchinandana Swami wrote. And he was discussing, he's doing Dandavat Parikram. And he explained why. And he explained it in terms of, you don't advance by your work and your practice. You know, you have to advance by Krishna's mercy. But Krishna is merciful. And when he sees your effort, when he sees your sacrifice, then why will he not open his heart and give you what you want to serve him? So I was thinking at that particular time of that image of Krishna looking at everything we do. And it reminded me of a concept of darshan that's found in the story of the wives of the Brahmins delivered. They left everything. And then they came before Krishna. And then Krishna saw within them their sacrifice. And Krishna smiled. That's darshan. That we give Krishna pleasure by how we present ourselves before him. What is the quality of our surrender? What is the quality of our sacrifice? What is the quality of our dedication? So I thought in that sense, in terms of a glorification of Prabhupada, I was trying to look at Srila Prabhupada from the standpoint, the Leela of Prabhupada from the standpoint of what was Krishna thinking? And how much pleasure was Krishna getting from seeing Prabhupada's heart, from seeing Prabhupada's sacrifice? So I thought another meditation that we could do, perhaps in your mind, you can think of your favorite Prabhupada story, Prabhupada experience, Prabhupada Leela. And don't look at it from the standpoint of the pastime. Look at it from the standpoint of what it's doing to Krishna's heart. When Krishna sees, perhaps, Prabhupada of the Jaladutta, the heart attacks, the sacrifice, Srila Prabhupada in the Lower East Side, who he has to associate with, what he has to do. So I thought that I can end my offering by, I thought of perhaps one incident of Prabhupada where I was meditating this morning, what would Krishna be seeing and how would it affect Krishna's heart? And that was in 1977. It was August. It was the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. It was midnight. And we were doing kirtan because Prabhupada was going to leave for the West. Prabhupada had not eaten for 6 months. Hardly he was talking. Perhaps the most he said was when Jai Dwaita Maharaj was getting the last commentary of the Kumar Leela, Brahma Vimohan Leela, Prabhupada was saying, I know he wasn't eating hardly anything. They were measuring it. I know that Prabhupada was in great pain. I was once came in his room because it was open. You can come at any time. I sat in his room early in the morning. I heard Prabhupada scream, "Hey, Krishna, in pain." Bhavananda asked me to help him and just adjust and explain that when you don't eat, there's no fat. in your body and the nerves and the bones can cross and cause great pain. So what was his condition? And Prabhupada comes out. I don't remember exactly how he came out, but I remember how he came back to Vrindavan, because I was also there in front of his rooms when he came back to Vrindavan from Mathura, from Bombay, from the West for the last time, coming in the arms of Brahmananda, the closest facsimile we'll ever see to Lord Chaitanya holding Haridas Thakur. And Prabhupada turned with his hands, and I heard him. And Prabhupada quoted King Kulashekar, Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Pankarajam Yareva Me Vishatume Manasaraja Hamsa. Prabhupada said, let me go now. Otherwise, he said, let me go now. The translation is, when the swan of my mind is entangled with your lotus feet, otherwise at the time of death, when the fill up with mucus, and how will I remember you? So I remember Prabhupada came down. I don't really remember. He must have been carried. There was no samadhi, obviously. His car was parked there. They put him... I remember before that, you couldn't even do kirtan for Prabhupada. It had to be so soft. And Tamal Krishnamurti would make sure. He'd instruct everyone. Melodious kirtan. Very soft. One small pair of kartals. No Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He said like this. No Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Melodious, soft. That's how much Prabhupada could, he could not tolerate sound. And now he was going to the West to preach Krishna consciousness. Again, lying in the back of the seat. And then one Indian gentleman who was close to Prabhupada, who was a famous member of parliament, I think Vishwachand Seth, came, he told the devotees, you can't do this. You can't allow him to go. So imagine the vision of Krishna. What he's feeling for this soul. Who has no personal concern. Paraduka Duki. The only concern for others. What was the Krishna thinking and his pleasure? And then we have to think, what is Prabhupada thinking of us? When we have darshan, what is he seeing in our heart? What is the dedication, the sacrifice he's seeing? Because that will be his pleasure. And our business is to give pleasure to Krishna through his devotee. I'll just tell one more story of a disciple who exemplified that dedication and made it into the heart of Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to leave, which we thought was the last time, and we went to his room, he kept on saying, I remember it, I was sitting there, and he kept on saying, his disciple Jayananda had passed away, and he kept on saying, he helped me so much. He helped me so much. He gave $5,000 to print the original Nectar of Devotion. He helped me so much. And I was sitting there at that time, and I was thinking, wow, how fortunate we can't even imagine who he is and where to compare to us, Prabhupada. And here's a person that made it into Prabhupada's heart. He made it into Prabhupada's heart. So, humility and dedication. He made it into Prabhupada's heart. So I think perhaps a nice meditation on this day, and I can say for myself, it's personally very humbling to look into my heart and perhaps see what Prabhupada would see compared to what he would see to others I know sitting in this room. But perhaps it's a good mood today to have darshan of Prabhupada and really go internal and increase our sacrifice and dedication to give him some pleasure. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Thank you very much, Dharma. His Holiness Nanjan Maharaj, please.
Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pucharadini Vishesha Shanyavari Pastuchari Sitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Shri Vasudeva Gauravani Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
first, because also like none of the Maharajas didn't prepare anything to speak about today. I was looking for a thread that I could take from the previous two speakers and try to pull that thread along and to present something that's relevant to myself and hopefully to all of you. While Jayavid Maharaj was speaking, I thought of a quote, feverishly looking for it. Found it. And considering it very relevant for, especially for a day that we commemorate as the passing of our beloved founder, Acharya father and spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. As Vaisheshya Prabhu said, this day is a very somber day. It's certainly for those who experience Srila Prabhupada's impact in their lives during his physical presence and compare it to the last 34 years since his departure. It's obviously, although it shouldn't be a dramatic difference for one who always carries the spiritual master's words and instructions and everything about him in his heart, still there is some difference. And that Srila Prabhupada physically is not here. And the only way that we can manifest him present in our lives is by remembrance of his instructions, and by acting, not only remembering, but faithfully carrying them out in full consciousness of his will, his desire, in disciplic succession, so that we do not introduce something new. I carried that thread from His Holiness Jayadwaita Maharaj's presentation, the importance of preserving Srila Prabhupada's desires for spreading Krishna consciousness, his methods of spreading Krishna consciousness. And I thought of one quote which I oftentimes refer to, which is from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but it's very relevant. I'll read it and then explain why I've selected it. After receiving initiation and instructions from a bona fide guru, a fortunate disciple should follow the path of the previous sadhus. Those who are proud neglect the previous Mahajans and create new paths. As a result, they soon proceed on their inauspicious path and ruin themselves. It is said in the Skanda Purana, Samritya Shaya Samhitu, Panta Santapa Varjita, Anabhapta Shamakvarde, Yena Santapratashtire. One should strictly follow the easy path, which the previous Mahajans have accepted. That path bestows great auspiciousness and is devoid of all misery. By discussing the path of the previous sadhus, one gets determination, courage, and satisfaction. When we discuss the path of devotional service exhibited by Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Sri Raghunath, and Sri Haridas Thakur, then we feel such happiness that it cannot be described. When the miscreant Mahamadans tortured Haridas Thakur, he said, Kanda Kanda Haide Yaya Yadi Yadi Prana. Tabu ami varane na chali harinam. E sabha jivera krishna karaha prasad mora drohi nahu e sabhara pura. Even if my body is cut into pieces and I lose my life, I will never give up chanting the Lord's holy name. O Krishna, please be merciful upon these poor souls. Kindly excuse them for their offense of torturing me. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues, he says, maintaining this type of determination and being compassionate to all living entities while always chanting the holy name of Krishna is the path of devotional service exhibited by the previous Mahajans. A path cannot be manufactured. Whatever path is there should be accepted by sadhus. Those who are proud and want fame try vigorously to discover new paths. Those who have good fortune from past lives give up pride and respect the established path. Those who are unfortunate promenade on a new path and thus cheat the world. I thought of that because of Jayadeva Maharaj's talk. And I thought it was also relevant because that was Srila Prabhupada. Always standing firm on the statements of the previous acharyas. Always standing firm, never deviating from these principles of the importance of spreading the glories of the whole name of the Lord and being compassionate. That is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains as the most important thing we should learn from the example of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, Namacharya, fixed on the glorification of the holy name of the Lord. And he manifested such compassion that even those who were beating him and torturing him, he was feeling compassion towards them. Srila Prabhupada's compassion is, it already elaborated upon our previous speakers. We can think of so many different examples of his compassion. His heart would bleed for the suffering of others, and he was always very eager to give the only solution, as Jayadeva Maharaj also explained, the only solution was to give them Krishna. I remember one time, it came to my mind, I'll simply say it. One time we were in a GBC meeting, and in this GBC meeting we were brainstorming many years ago, maybe about 20 years ago. No, maybe not that long ago, maybe 16, 17 years ago. We were brainstorming, and one devotee was at a board, and he was taking all the GBCs to, requesting them, what is the most important things that we should do for spreading Krishna consciousness. And everybody had different ideas. And at that time, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, he offered something that we should put on the board as important for spreading Krishna consciousness. He said, we should give Krishna. For some reason, some of the people were thinking that wasn't practical. And the person who was writing on the board, he was, what, should I put it up? Forgive me. Answer my mind. He said, should I put up? And then others were discussing, and then because it wasn't really like, it was just practical things that we were looking for. Practical things. So somehow this wasn't practical. Beyond me, why it wasn't practical. And then it didn't go up. And go over Vinamar and said, why? Why are you not putting this up? Why is it very hot? And then obviously it went up. Because I always felt that he also very much by Srila Prabhupada's mood was very eager to do exactly what Srila Prabhupada was doing. unquestionably, you know, Prabhupada was giving us Krishna. And Srila Govinda Maharaj also, at that time, was impressed that this is a very practical thing to do if you want to spread Krishna consciousness. And that was Prabhupada's compassion, that he was giving Krishna, and anyone who came in contact would certainly feel Krishna's presence in their lives. And that was his method of preserving the parampara. That was his method of keeping everything perfectly intact, was by not watering anything down and not presenting something new. Why do we have to present something new? Krishna's already perfect. We don't have to package in a way that Krishna's already perfectly packaged, perfectly attractive. And if we present it purely with a desire to please him, to please Srila Prabhupada, and follow the path of the previous Mahajans, be prepared in the same mood as Haridas Thakur to give Krishna consciousness with the same determination, compassion, and prepared to accept any kind of inconveniences Haridas Thakur accepted, certainly Krishna will be very pleased. And this will manifest in the heart of that person who is simply trying to please him, to serve him. So, Prabhupada, I remember, it's one of my favorite stories, Dhanadhar Maharaj said we should think of a favorite pastime. And one of my favorite pastimes, which also captures Prabhupada's determination to not present anything new. It was in the Prabhupada Leela, I think it's Giriraj Maharaj who actually gave the story. When Prabhupada was speaking to a group of Indians in India, and Prabhupada sometimes would use strong language, and one Indian man was objecting to Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, you are sadhu, you're supposed to be samadarshana. You are supposed to see everyone equally. And Prabhupada would say, so that is higher position. I'm not on that position. He said, I am simply taking what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and I have to see who is following and who is not following Krishna's instructions. And therefore, if you're not following, I have to speak very strongly. You are not following. He said, but that is my samadarshana. I do not discriminate. I will tell Krishna's instructions to everybody. That is my position of samadarshana. And then the man was saying, but Swamiji, but what have you done? You're simply repeating what somebody else has said. What have you done? He was challenging Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no. So I stand on the statements of the acharyas. That is what I have done. I have not presented anything new. The Prabhupada was just firm on that principle. Not introducing anything new. Those who are proud, they'll try to introduce something new. Something that's different besides spreading the glories of the holy name and giving Krishna to others in the form of the holy name. And they may forget. They may not realize that they've lost all their objective. They've lost their connection with parampara. Therefore, there's no potency. Although they may have followers, they have no potency to give Krishna. That's how Srila Prabhupada was able to spread Krishna consciousness in the way that he did. Because Krishna Shakti, he was empowered by Krishna. Did not discriminate, simply to give the holy name of faith to the Lord. I have one other story in this connection I would like to tell. I know this for the first time this year. I've told it already so many times, but I love it. I love it because it's just pure Prabhupada. Well, everything Prabhupada does is pure Prabhupada. It's classic. I was with a godbrother of mine who is not very, very active these days. But his heart, he's very active. He loves Prabhupada. I met him in the home of a devotee in America. Some devotees who were hosting him at that time, they asked him, can you please tell us some stories about Prabhupada? So he started telling this one story. And as I said, I never heard it before. So that's why it's so exciting. He said this devotee was very actively preaching in Europe. He was in Switzerland at the time. I've got Brother Guru Gurunga Das. And he was, by his preaching, he was able to inspire Prabhupada to come and to visit Switzerland. So prior to Prabhupada's visit, he was very eager to gather as many important, influential people as he could possibly find to come to meet Prabhupada so that Prabhupada could preach to them. And he went to one particular man, I can't remember, I'll have to find out who it was, but he was an influential person, possibly a diplomat. And he was not so inclined, but then through some strong coercion, he was able to convince him to come, and Prabhupada would come, he would come and meet Prabhupada. As Guru Granth thought, he would probably ask him some questions. So, at a later date when Prabhupada came, all these people that he had gathered to meet Prabhupada came, and this one particular man had a particular scheduled time to meet. He came to the door, he was greeted, he was brought into Prabhupada's room, which is a very simple room. Prabhupada was sitting behind a desk on the floor, and the man came in, sat on the floor in front of his desk. And Prabhupada said to him, so you have any questions? And the man said, no. And Guru Gauranga was standing there, he was crestfallen. He was thinking, I brought this man, I want my spiritual master to have opportunity to preach. I brought this man to meet Prabhupada. Here he comes, he sits down. Prabhupada asks me, have any questions? And the man says, no. And there was like a dead silence. So Prabhupada said to Guru Gauranga, said, bring the harmonium. So Guru Gauranga brought the harmonium. And Prabhupada took the harmonium and just started playing a very melodious melody. And he started chanting, Kirtan, Hare Krishna. It went on for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Prabhupada was just sitting there. Guru Gauranga was watching and he says, it's almost like he was there just alone with Krishna, and he was calling this man, come join us. And the man just sat there the whole time, totally mystified, listening to Prabhupada chanting
the holy name.
And then, after about 20 minutes, Prabhupada stopped. He came back into their presence. He looked at the man and said, "This is what we do." That was it. No questions asked. All answers were given. "This is what we do." They turned to Guru around and said, "Give him some prasad." Now, anyone else, of course, could probably look for something to say or try to get him to ask. Just chanted Hare Krishna. And said, "This is what we do," and answered his questions before he asked them. So that's a little story I thought I would share. And there's so much more that could be said about the importance of preserving Srila Prabhupada's legacy. But I'm sure others will say it as well. On this day of his disappearance, let us remember what Prabhupada does. And let that be our life. Let that be our mission in life. We don't need anything else. We don't have to introduce anything new. Just simply give Krishna to everyone in the form of his holy name, in service to Srila Prabhupada's faithfulness to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And not only will Krishna smile at Prabhupada, but Prabhupada will smile at us if we can simply do that much. Nothing else needs to be done.
See back there the when are there prophet disciples in the back?
I don't think so.
Please let me know. Okay. Abhi Prabhu, would you please come speak?
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Krishna Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parashara. I would just take, with your permission, just 2 minutes to tell an experience that I had personally with Prabhupada. Since I was the president temple of Colombia in South America, I was in Mayapur in 1974 or 1975, at this moment I don't remember, but I'm sure you will, with the story, relate to that moment. And I heard that Prabhupada said that he wanted to talk to the leaders. And as soon as I heard that, I felt that I was included there. And I was the first one. I ran and I went to his room and I gave obeisances. But he was by himself. And just me and him. And I felt a little embarrassed. Prabhupada just looked at me and I didn't know what to do, so I went to the corner and I sat at the far corner and I just watched him. I just looked at him. Prabhupada was, had only a gamsha and his body was oiled with mustard oil. And he was just looking at his hand. But the movement of his head and his whole, the speed was so slow, was so dense. He was looking at his hand and I couldn't even blink. I was just looking at him. He never turned his head to see me. He was just there, absorbed, looking at his hand. Every now and then he would do, he would stretch a little bit and look at his hand again. And I was completely surprised. I said, this person who is so such an unusual person, representing such a line of serious spiritual masters. I have the privilege of being with him in a room. And some other thoughts came into my mind, but just to continue the story, devotees were coming in, those who really were the leaders. And I was afraid somebody would tell me, how do you have to go? And but nobody did. The room after some time was completely packed and there were dozens of devotees doing exactly what I was doing. Just looking at Prabhupada, looking, watching. And Prabhupada was looking at his hand. Suddenly the light went off, just like sometimes happens in my life. And the devotees brought some of those lamps. And you know what happens when you are in the night and electricity is a little invasive. This fire came just a little bit, and then it created even more spiritual tension within. At that moment, there was an experience that it seemed like there was no time or space. It was a particular impossible experience to explain. Very intense. Then finally, Prabhupada said, so, what do they say? At that time, Adi Keshava was the president of New York, and he said, they say we are brainwashing Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, again, went for his hand. Mind you, it's very long time. It doesn't have the dynamics are not usual. You're supposed to say something about it. No, just took his time. And then he said, brain washing. No, we are not brainwashing, we are brain giving. So first, talk about having brain, and then we can talk about washing or not washing. Of course, at that moment happened what just happened. Everybody laughed, and it became light. humor was accompanied by the arrival of the pull of cards. We were walking with Maharaj, Lokanath Maharaj, who knows how many miles. Lokanath Maharaj came to visit, to the room, gave obeisances, sat right in front of Srila Prabhupada. And the face that Prabhupada had of Lokanath Maharaj at that moment, it's also indescribable. And there was so much affection. And he said, I've composed a poem for you, Prabhupada. You composed it. You have it? He said, yes. So he started to say the poem. And he said, you composed that? Thank you very much. That figure that we are trying to analyze and trying to find out who he is as impossible as to understand how the whole Mahabharata ended up in the killing of millions of persons. If we try to analyze it from a logical point of view, it's impossible. Why would they kill millions of each other? What's Krishna did to bring everybody back to God? I mean, how can you understand that from your perspective? So such is the impossible mission to try to understand Srila Prabhupada. But we have the great fortune of his instructions, and we have the great fortune of his sincere disciples. So there is some hope that eventually we can understand a little bit of that dimension of that beauty and that unique heart that Srila Prabhupada is. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Habib Prabhu. Arjuna. This is a little something I wrote a few months back, just appreciating in some small way, according to my infantile little devotional life, appreciating Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Thank you. You might take 10 or 15 minutes, is that okay? Mm-hmm.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, someone explained to me once that by your mercy, we can speak something on this day, even though there may be some literary flaws. Just like a loving father appreciates the incoherent stammerings of his young child as the child tries to express his affections, by your mercy, you appreciate our outpourings and heartfelt appreciations reposed at your lotus feet. Your divine grace is the personification of the bliss of Krishna's mercy. You are the storehouse of compassion for the poor and suffering souls. You reveal divine knowledge, pure devotion, and ecstatic love of God. And you are the savior of the fallen souls. Therefore, I pray to offer this mind, body, and very life at your lotus feet, and always hope to chant the divine names of Sri Hari. By your mercy, I am getting to understand more and more that your divine grace is truly the only light and love in this very dark, temporary world. You are the supreme personality of the servitor of Godhead. By your mercy, I was initiated some 38 years ago. You also gave me second initiation only a few months later. I can remember that when I stepped into your room to receive the Gayatri Mantra, I lost all material composure and just seemed to be floating over to where you were seated. This was in Los Angeles. You were so effulgent and so grave. Who can imagine what deep ecstasy you were feeling at that time? Yet you came out of trance to explain the Gayatri Mantra to me by your mercy. And only by your mercy, even through all my lust, greed, and anger, I have practically never forgotten your divine lotus feet, even for one day. Whether I am up or down, by your mercy, I continue to chant Sri Krishna's divine holy name, divine holy names, and cry out to you deep in my heart, please rescue me from these certain circumstances time and time again. I pray to be monopolized by your pure love. By your mercy, you are always there, and now, after all these years, it is quite amazing that I feel your presence more than ever, and this can only be by your mercy. In 1972, I asked you a question. I expressed how confused, overwhelmed, and disappointed I was that there were so many philosophies and interpretations of those schools of thought. What to speak of so many religions out there? How could I ever know God, or what was the truth, or who to follow? By your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, you explained that logic and argument will not help me. One logician may be better than another, and may convert some argument and decision into a different, better logical conclusion. A philosopher, you continue, cannot be a philosopher unless he differs with another philosopher. You said emphatically that we cannot decide from the books or from philosophical speculation or by argument and logic. You went on to explain how you follow the Bhagavad Gita, and that is quite perfect in the matter of understanding God. Your divine grace suggested that I find some recognized authority and just follow in his footsteps. I thought you would push the point that I should follow you only, like so many other masters have said in the past and were even saying at that time. Instead, Srila Prabhupada, by your mercy, your reply was the defining moment in my existence. You said that your only wish is simply that everyone should understand and love God, because human life is meant for this purpose. So if a man loves God more than anything else, he is the perfect man. You told me very lovingly that you wish that I may follow this principle and be happy. At that moment, I knew in my heart that I had found my eternal Lord and Master. At that point, I knew that your divine grace had brought unlimited humility to perfection. I was raptured and captured, arrested by this mood. When reading your Bhagavad Gita as an issue of Prabhupada, I became attached
to the personality and name of Arjuna. I related with him on a few levels. In my neophyte condition, I prayed to Lord Krishna that he please give me this name at initiation, or I might not be able to carry on. That was an infantile state. I think I still have that frame of consciousness. I wanted a sign that my prayers were being heard. When I approached your divine grace on that wonderful day of my initiation, I knew that the name offering would make or break me. I offered my obeisances, got up, and repeated the vows. I was so much in anxiety about the name. But by your mercy, you handed me my beads, and with a beautiful smile that I will remember to this day, you said, "Your name is Arjunadas." The whole Los Angeles temple erupted in applause and cheers. I was stunned and simply dropped flat out at your lotus feet. It was the most ecstatic moment in my life. By your mercy, faith soared sky high. By your mercy, you're very kindly, you have kindly accepted the donations I was sending up to your room every few days. I was slowly giving up all the money I had come to Los Angeles with. I was detaching myself slowly but surely. I wanted to attract your attention. My faith, by your mercy, was increasing. You were very happy that this, quote, nice boy was always sending up the cash. In your loving reciprocation, you sent me down a beautiful picture of yourself and seemed to have signed it three times. Your servant said that you gave me all your blessings. That can only be by your mercy. By your mercy, I was distributing your books profusely. This was the engagement you told me most pleased you. Also, you mentioned to me that I should read and study your books and prepare myself fully for going back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, only by your mercy can this ever take place. During the occasion of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, this was late December 1973, you once again showered your mercy. I thought at any moment, while Srila Prabhupada was speaking the lecture that morning, I thought at any moment, Srila Prabhupada, you would just break out in ecstasy. Because while you were speaking, so much loving emotion was there. After 20 minutes of mentioning how much you appreciated us all in helping you with this mission, as you spoke these words, I quote, "Because you are all helping me," unquote, tears shot out from your eyes as you choked up. They shot out in torrents, and we were all instantly stunned. We all tasted at that moment a spark of real spiritual love. As we cried, spontaneously along with you, goosebumps actually appeared. This is no ornamentation or embellishment, actually. So much of this feeling was just pouring out, and it just entered so many devotees all around. That was only Srila Prabhupada by your mercy. By your mercy, I was able to come on quite a few morning walks in Hawaii. I remember you always calling the early morning surfers sufferers. Srila Prabhupada, truly my eyes adored you. I was absorbed in all your movements and gestures. What to speak of the words that were emanating from your lotus mouth? We can never keep up with your walking pace, no matter how hard we try. Your divine grace moved as if on a magic carpet. Thank you for letting me stay around and walk with you on the beach at Alamoana Park on those beautiful mornings. Thank you for letting me play the mridanga as you sang Jairana Madhava on quite a few occasions. Thank you for letting me catch all the flowers you would throw out for the Vyasa sign. And thank you for allowing me to get in line twice each time to receive some maha sweets from your lotus hands. Thank you also for letting me chant japa along with you on the porch at the Hawaiian temple one afternoon. At that time, I asked you what happens to a disciple that falls down. You immediately said, that he was not your disciple. Then I asked what happens if that person starts following again. You contemplated for what seemed to be eternity and finally answered, quote, then again, he is my disciple. This is by your mercy. Srila Prabhupada, this is quote, disciple, you continued, means disciplined to follow. Disciple is contained in the word discipline. In 1976, in your Vrindavan room, by your mercy, you recognized and remembered me so lovingly as the boy from Hawaii. I was trying to preach in a certain zone, and there was some resistance coming from the GBC man stationed there. But by your mercy, in order for the preaching to go on, you told me that preaching was beyond GBC. What a revolutionary statement. That, by the way, should be held in extreme context of that particular situation. Well, that would be a very revolutionary statement right now. On this auspicious day, I pray that all the expatriates, the disenfranchised, those who have become bitter and hurt, those whose hearts are wounded, the woman who felt pushed out and neglected, the ex-guru coolies, the youth, and any other devotees who are not presently serving for one reason or other, be touched within their hearts by your mercy, and once again join us in the Sankirtan mission. In closing, my dear Srila Prabhupada, I also pray that as I travel through the closing chapters in this life, please never let me stop appreciating your words. By your mercy, please allow me to remember your lotus feet. And please, Srila Prabhupada, never let me forget them. Your aspiring servant.
Thank you, Arjuna Prabhu. Krishna Kirtan Devi Dasi.
Namaste, Sarasvati, Jai, Guravani, Chani, Nirvishi, Shashuni, Vani, Pasitani, Shatani, Pumagyana, Chimamana, Shyaginanda, Nashana, Praya, Chakshuni, Nidamina, Tasmai, Shri, Yavi, Namaha. So I feel very honored to be able to express a few words on this Saturday of your discourse, Srila Prabhupada. I was very young, I was only 15 years old when you came to Paris in 1972. And I couldn't join your enthusiastic devotees at that time. But my whole life changed by your mercy. I became a strict vegetarian and I started practicing meditation and yoga. And when finally the government changed the law in France, instead of 21, we could be adult at 18. At that time, I joined your temple in Paris, Rue Lescure. And we were distributing by your mercy in the street, Harinam, Sankirtan, Prasad, and cleaning the small temple in Paris. And one day, the temple president offered to let me go on Sankirtan with your team, Prabhupada. So we were distributing your books all over France, from door to door in village. And we would inform you through phone call to England how we were doing. And when we heard our results, you were always so happy. he would say, you get the blessing of my Guru Maharaj. You would not give us your personal benediction, but you would offer Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's blessing to your Sankirtan boys and girls in France. And you would say, don't worry, I am always with you in your Sankirtan tracks. I am traveling with you. There is no question of separation. And we would ask, when will you come again to France? And you said, as long as you distribute my books, I am with you, I will live. There is no question of separation. You chant Hare Krishna. There I chant here. We are all together. So we were desperately needing your association, and you were not in good health. Finally, you went back to India, and we heard that your health was going worse and worse, and we were worried, and you asked us to chant a special prayer. So every evening after book distribution, we would meet together and chant Nishingadev with all our heart and praying, please, Nishingadev, if you so desire, please cure our Prabhupada. So that year, 77, we went to New Mayapur for Govardhan Puj, big celebration, and then we went back on Sankirtan traveling. And we got a phone call from Paris, come immediately, you know, Prabhupada. And we could feel in our hearts something very bad has happened. How come we have to drop everything, come back to Paris? We were afraid of bad news. And we came to Paris, everybody was in tears. And I was a young devotee, I just got initiated. And I was surprised, the whole mood was collapsing, because for me, Prabhupada's instructions were there. We had his books, we had his mission, everything was flourishing. So I could not imagine anything could be different. And only years after, I could understand the big difference that happened between the time when you were there present and after, when you were not physically present. Actually, there was a big difference, but at that time, we could not imagine such a thing. It was a big house where everybody was serving you, united, cooperating, and there was no problems, no many problems. And only years after, we saw how the house was breaking into small houses, and it was getting more difficult to really grasp your lotus feet, your instruction, and be together in the same family. So Prabhupada, on his disappearance there, humbly begging the shelter of your lotus feet, I would like to renew my commitment to your seva, to your divinity, to your guest. Please kindly forgive my offenses and engage me assisting you in your transcendental mission during this lifetime. You have endured so much trouble, hardship, and austerities to fulfill your Guru Maharaj order and to give us this treasure of Shishu Radha Govinda Prem Seva. Our debt to you is eternal, and the main way we can express in our gratitude and please you is by following, by carrying out your instruction to the best of our abilities and encouraging others also to do the same. Prabhupada, please give us a drop of your sincerity, a drop of your surrender and of your devotion, and always please stay in our heart, guiding us towards eternal seva to the divine couple in Braj. Please accept my most humble obeisances at your lotus feet.
Ramadevi. Come. Shall we?
So, this prayer states that we're born in the darkness of ignorance. And us from the Western world, we don't have any problem saying this prayer with deep conviction. Because the contrast with the life we led before Srila Prabhupada came into our life and the life we led after he did come into our life was very great. Contrast means a big difference. Whereas many of the people from cultured Indian families, they might not be so much different. Others, there is some difference. It may not be so great. So we have some very special gratitude to such a personality, Srila Prabhupada, because our actual true fallen condition. I've come here to Govardhan, and I've been reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita every day, and I was thinking of some slokas in the Gita that I could relate to, exemplify Srila Prabhupada's greatness. And the first one I thought of was chapter 4, verse 10. Vita raga vaya krodha man maya anupasritaha bahava gana tapasa Puta mad bhava lagataha. Being free from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, and taking refuge in me, many, many persons of the past became purified by knowledge of me, and this they all attained transcendental love for me. So here, Krishna is encouraging Arjuna. You know, Arjuna's like playing a role of a fallen soul in the material world and under the influence of Yoga Maya, and Krishna's encouraging him and telling him what the qualities of a liberated soul are. Now, the liberated soul may have become liberated by taking refuge, or he may have come into this world already liberated. Srila Prabhupada said that doesn't make any difference. A liberated soul is a liberated soul regardless. But in Srila Prabhupada's life, being freed from attachment, he also played some leela here, he got married, had a family. But what did he do? He set the example. He He detached himself from that family voluntarily. It wasn't by force. He voluntarily separated himself from his family for the purpose of following the orders of his Guru Maharaj. Free from fear. This is exemplified in Prabhupada's life during his last days. If you're fearful, you're not going to be thinking clearly. And what was Srila Prabhupada doing when he was laying on his back? His nerves exposed, practically speaking. And the doctor said that anyone in this condition is experiencing extreme pain. Most people would not even be able to live in such a situation. But what is Srila Prabhupada doing? He's translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although with a very weak voice, but with full faculties of his intelligence and his consciousness went into the translation, just like when he was in good health, like sitting in his desk in Hawaii, where he translated more slokas than anywhere else in the whole world. He liked Hawaii because it was pretty good for his health. Hawaii is known for the climate. It's never not too hot, not too cold. There's nice winds, and so on and so forth. So he was free from fear. He wasn't concerned thinking, oh, what's going to happen to me now? This body is failing me. There's no future for this body. What's going to happen to me? Free from anger. Anger, generally speaking, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is caused by unsatisfied lust. So this is what Krishna is stating here, is anger, because you're so frustrated because you're not getting the pleasure out of this material world that you anticipated that you would get. And a living entity that pursues sense enjoyment, he ultimately becomes very, very frustrated and very, very angry. So Srila Prabhupada, none of this. He didn't show any of these symptoms in his life of being a living entity whose sole purpose is to gratify the senses until the very end of life. So Srila Prabhupada is an example for all of us to follow in so many ways. You can just go through the whole Bhagavad Gita and there's so many slokas, explaining, here's another one. O son of Prita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. So generally speaking, we think, okay, the mode of goodness is going to have some tinges of passion and ignorance. But not with Srila Prabhupada. His determination was completely unbreakable to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master. When he finally, boarded the ship, fulfilling his life's dream of going to the Western world to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master, what happens to him? He suffers two heart attacks. What could be more discouraging than that? What did he do? He persevered through these heart attacks, through the seasickness, got off the ship, and started preaching Krishna consciousness. Was it easy? No. There were so many hurdles that he had to overcome, endeavoring to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master. This is something unprecedented for a personality to continue on despite so many obstacles. Poverty, being attacked, flaky followers, addicted to so many abominable activities, coming and going, so many difficulties. But he persevered, and he persevered, and he persevered, and was very patient with his followers, and continued giving them the medicine of Krishna's name and Krishna's message, despite their failings. And a few of them, a handful of them, grasped the message and held on to that message. And after Srila Prabhupada departed, maintained that practical application of the message in their lives, and did what Srila Prabhupada did, and went out in the world and selflessly gave it to others. And now we see a whole room full of such people because of this. I was in Lloyd Bazaar. I was getting some outfits for our murtis in America. I was thinking, it's very difficult, it's very noise, horns honking, this is a whole activity there. It's like, it used to not be like that. It used to be, you could take a rickshaw in the Lloyd Bazaar and push a ball around the temple, and it would just go straight there. It was not be a big deal at all. There wasn't all this commotion and noise and traffic jams and, thousands of people and things like that. And I was thinking, actually, I should be quite happy to see this. But so many people are not coming to Vrindavan, although it's creating a hellish situation in the Holy Dham, because so many people, so much crowd, so much noise, so much this and that. But they're coming to Vrindavan. Also, the Krishna Balaram temple is so full. It's just you can't hardly go in and see the deities because we should, I think, oh, I'm so uncomfortable here. I'm getting pushed and shoved. But this is Srila Prabhupada's glories, that his potency, his purity, coming through the faithful followers that and have continued with his determination despite so many hurdles, and so many people are coming because of this. Similarly in Mayapur, you go to Guru Puja and there's a long line to the practically out the door of devotees lining up to offer flowers to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And every day, they gather around all the people that are coming for the first time and sit them down to chant around the japa. And there's 80, 90, 100 people every day. So this is the potency of a pure devotee. That it may not be so evident in his physical presence, But he sets a wave of enthusiasm that grows and grows and grows. And his, and what he set forth to do carries on for a long time. So this is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. And it shows that he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die. When our living sound they live to die, and while living, endeavor to spread the only name around. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Russian to English.
Do we have such facilities?
Do we have someone that can translate from Russian to English, please? Can you please come forward?
Speak loud enough to feel all here. He can speak loud enough.
You're going to speak in English. He'll speak
into the mic.
Just let him go back and work through the mic.
Get through the mic and then he'll go back.
Поскольку я совершенно даже не догадывался, что вот так выйдет, что я буду сидеть перед вами.
Because I was completely unaware and didn't expect that I will sit here before you.
Вполне возможно, что даже вы не видите ничего, кроме этого сидения.
It's quite possible that you cannot see anything here except this cushion on which I sit.
Я совершенно незначительный и лишенный какой-то квалификации говорить в день ухода его божественной милости. Хотя Бхактивиданта с вами о нем в таком совершенно самого высокого уровня в обществе и в таком святом месте, как Вриндаван.
I am completely insignificant and devoid of any qualification to speak about
His Divine Grace, P.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, in such holy, exalted place and in such holy and exalted assembly of devotees.
Внимание, когда последние двое докладчиков говорили, я вспоминал историю, связанную со Шрилой Прабхупадой.
Still, when the last two speakers were speaking, I recollected one story with Шрила Прабхупада.
Я уже рассказывал в России, и здесь повторю, так как большинство не слышали. Одна преданная написала мне письмо.
I already told the story in Russia, but repeat it here. One devotee wrote a letter, one woman devotee wrote a letter to me.
И в этом письме она описывала старца Фаддея.
And in that letter she described one Christian saint, monk, his name was Фаддей.
Что она видела его или общалась с ним, или видела запись общения с ним в интернете, но на нее произвел вид этого старца, очень одухотворенное, очень святое лицо.
She saw his video and his face, his behavior was very holy and very spiritual, and she was very much impressed by him.
И она спрашивала у меня, почему я не чувствую такого, когда я вижу учеников Прабхупады. И она перечислила тех, кого видела. Это был Деви Галинда Махарадж, Радюмна Махарадж и, может, еще один-два гуру наших.
And she was asking me why she didn't feel such feelings when she saw faces of Prabhupada's disciples, and she mentioned Indradyumna Maharaj, Vidyadavinda Maharaj, and maybe one or two other gurus.
Мне пришлось подумать, как ответить. Я ответил, что мы опираемся на Шрилу Прабхупаду. Мы признаем, что у него были и остаются, так как Прабхупад остается в нашем движении. Все выдающиеся качества святого человека, святой личности, и все они проявлялись на его блаженном лице.
And her question was a challenge for me, and it took some time for me to answer. And then I answered her that we rely upon our movement is based upon Srila Prabhupada, and he had all divine qualities, and all those qualities could be seen on his spiritual face.
Я также написал, что, конечно, этот старец Фаддей может привести человека к Иисусу Христу, но он ничего не говорит о Кришне, он не может привести к Кришне.
I also wrote her that maybe this holy man Fadei can bring his followers to Jesus Christ, but he doesn't say anything about Krishna, and he cannot bring his followers to Krishna.
Этот старец не может привести к Кришне, который вечно юный, вечно свежий. Адьян Пурана Пуруша Наваеванамча.
That holy man, Christian Fadei, he cannot lead his followers to Krishna, who is always young, always fresh. He's Adyam Purana Purushan Navayoganamcha.
Конечно, этот человек может привести кому-то, кто Пурана Пурушан. Но он не может привести к вечно юному, свежему, прекрасному Кришне.
Maybe he can bring his followers to some god who is Adyam Puranam Purusham, but he cannot bring them to always young, always fresh Krishna.
Я думал, что мой ответ неубедительный. И тут же получил от нее письмо, и она написала: «Все мне ясно. Расскажите, пожалуйста, как следовать». Она спрашивала, может ли она начать поклонение Шри Прабхупаде.
I thought that my answer was not very convincing, but very soon I received her reply, and she said that now everything is clear for her, and she asked me if she can start worshiping Srila Prabhupada's Murti.
Оказывается, что за то время, пока прошло между письмами, кто-то ей подарил Мурти Шилы Прабхупады, и она спросила у меня о деталях, как поклоняться Шиле Прабхупаде, и я ответил ей на это письмо.
It happens that during this period, after my answer to her, somebody gifted her Srila Prabhupada's Murti, and she was asking me how to worship him, and I answered her.
И вторая часть вопроса это, я не согласен, что лица учеников Шрилы Прабхупады несравнимы с лицом старца Пандея, потому что сегодня, в день ухода Шрилы Прабхупады, его святейшество Шрила Ниранджана с вами говорил свои воспоминания о Шриле Прабхупаде и пел баджан Джая Нила Премадана. И я всегда вспоминаю, что когда мне получалось присутствовать на его прославлении Шрилы Прабхупады в день ухода его, то Ниранджан Махарадж последние строчки обычно вот так вот опускал лицо, опускал все ниже, ниже, ниже. И потом он не мог сдержать свои чувства. И я подумал, что это эмоции Вайшнава самой-самой высокой квалификации. Это эмоции святого.
And also I don't agree that with that woman, I disagree with her that faces of Srila Prabhupada's disciple cannot be compared to the face of that Christian holy man. Because today when I heard openness to glorification of Srila Prabhupada by his disciples, when I heard how His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj spoke about Srila Prabhupada, I remembered that I heard his offerings to Srila Prabhupada on this day for many years, and almost every year, a few years, and while talking, he often, at the last lines of his offerings, his head came down, and finally he often started crying.
Он не мог сдержать свои чувства, я сказал.
He couldn't maintain soberness, he couldn't hide his feelings and help his emotions.
Поэтому, как говорил Шрила Данудар Махарадж и другие выступавшие, и Шрила Джая Двайта Махарадж, это движение продолжается, и оно сохранило чистоту и преданность его божественной милости Ачарья Бхакти Виданта с вами Шриле Прабхупаде.
Therefore, as Dharmadhar Maharaj said and Jaya Advaita Maharaj said, this movement goes on, it continues, and it preserves its purity and loyalty to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Спасибо за неожиданную возможность. Извините. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for unexpected opportunity. Please forgive me, Hare Krishna.
Shila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you to His Holiness Nitai Chaitanya Goswami, Hare Krishna. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A favorite story I heard from His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, that in Bombay, a young man was helping Srila Prabhupada to translate his books into a local language. And this young man's father would also come along to meet Srila Prabhupada. The young man's father had a habit of smoking that he felt bad about. He had mentioned it to Srila Prabhupada. Several times he mentioned it. And finally, he asked Srila Prabhupada for his special mercy. Could you please give me special mercy to give up this bad habit? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can get special mercy, but it means that Krishna will make you so miserable that you'll be forced to give it up. Would you like to have the special mercy? And the man said, no, no, that's okay. I'll give it up myself. From the vantage point of Srila Prabhupada, who is completely surrendered to Krishna, he could offer such advice, seeing that the how everything works in this world. Srila Prabhupada had a unique way of instructing everyone perfectly and attracting everyone to devotional service. And
another favorite instruction that I keep close to my heart from Srila Prabhupada is a letter that he wrote to Karandar about how to manage. At the time, Karandar Prabhu, who was an expert manager, had ideas, and lots of them, about how to make things more efficient. One of his ideas had to do with centralizing the management. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back a very instructive letter telling him that a manager should create an atmosphere in which devotees will perform service that is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. He also said that the leaders should always generate a fresh challenge, put a fresh challenge before the body of devotees so that they'll want to rise up and meet that challenge. This individual, voluntary, and spontaneous, individual, spontaneous, voluntary spirit Srila Prabhupada brought with him wherever he went. And I was thinking about how spontaneous life is around Srila Prabhupada. And there's a story in the Lilamrita about how Prabhupada, during his South Indian tour, had several devotees with him, and he was moving from one program to the next with very little rest. And on the way back up north on a train, he was staying in a compartment with Chamasundar Prabhu, a Gurudas, who was feeling happy to be close to Prabhupada in this environment, thinking that now I've achieved something. I'm close to Prabhupada in the compartment. And at the train stop in Delhi, someone got on the train who was a follower of Srila Prabhupada's and very interested in having Prabhupada come and speak in Delhi. And somehow during that train stop, he came on and he took Prabhupada's darshan, he offered his obeisances, and he begged Prabhupada to come to speak because there was some engagement there. But Prabhupada already had an obligation onwards and couldn't stop there. So Prabhupada said to Gurudas, okay, you get down here. That mantra, you get down here, reminds me of the spontaneous nature Prabhupada had, which is possible only for one who sees Krishna everywhere, possibility everywhere, for expanding Krishna consciousness. The mood of Srila Prabhupada was to unlimitedly expand the Krishna consciousness movement. And he writes that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Adi Lila, that the only business of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement is to go on preaching unlimitedly. And that's what Prabhupada did. He preached unlimitedly, and he saw everything. Sarvabhuteshu ya pashyet bhagavat bhavamatmanaha bhutani bhagavat yatmani esha bhagavatottama. The highest class devotee, the Uttama Bhakta, is described sarvabhuteshu ya pashyet. He sees the Supreme everywhere, bhagavat bhavamatmanaha, and his mood is to engage everything in Krishna's service all the time. And so anyone who got around Srila Prabhupada would also be pulled into that mood that you get down here. I remember that Hansa Duda also had some interaction with Prabhupada where Prabhupada asked him to go to Sri Lanka to preach. And he didn't want to go to Sri Lanka at the time. He had some other ideas. So Prabhupada said, you can either go to Sri Lanka or he offered him some Muslim country. I can't remember if it was Pakistan or somewhere else. But he gave him that choice. And then he went to Sri Lanka and did quite well there. There's a dynamic mood around Srila Prabhupada because he was always moving, always seeing how to engage the next thing in Krishna's service. And one devotee told me that it was sometimes, among the devotees, it was a little fearsome that if you said something, I like, this looks like a nice place for preaching, Prabhupada might say, okay, you get down here. But that's what's expected, to come to this position, that you're ready to get down here. Anywhere, Prabhupada was ready, he just got in a boat and he came over. He did whatever he had to do to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. And this is how Prabhupada is fulfilling everyone's desire in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Paravajana Muni talks about abhishta doham. That is the innermost desire of the soul. And that's fulfilled, says Paravajana Muni, by Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. The innermost desire of the soul is fulfilled. And that can only be done when one is under the care of a person who is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, seeing everything as engageable in Krishna service and unlimitedly expanding the preaching at every minute, because the mind is always active and wants something else. Nahi kashchit shanam api jatu tishchet karma krit karite sarva prakriti jaragunai. No one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. And no one can be satisfied with anything other than Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Yeneva vindaksha muktamani nesto yastabhava avashudha buddhaya aruya krishna parampanam tata patantyada nadrita yushmanangraya. If it isn't some relationship with the lotus-eyed Lord, then it's not going to satisfy the soul, and I'll fall down from that situation, whatever it is. So Srila Prabhupada, because he was fully engaged and lined up in Lord Chaitanya's mission and expanding it unlimitedly, he was able to fulfill the desires of all those who came in contact with him by also giving them that service and instilling in them that mood that you get down here, that you take on the unlimited service that can only satisfy the soul, that service which is unlimited. It can go on at all times and all places and all circumstances. This is Sankirtan, the Samyak Kirtan, the complete glorification of the Lord at all times and all places and all circumstances. So that's the really real excitement of meeting the pure devotee, to come into that kirtan that he's propagating, that he's and he has enough to give to everybody. You take service, because he sees it everywhere. He's not holding back anything either. That's another thing. One of the American presidents once said that it's amazing how much you can get done, but you don't care who gets the credit. You just want it done. And I have this feeling from Srila Prabhupada that he just wanted it done. He wanted to see that everyone got Krishna consciousness. He wasn't envious, and he didn't need anything for himself. He didn't have to have the credit. He channeled everything in such a way that it would get done. That was his main concern. And in that environment, everyone's desire could be fulfilled, because if you have some capacity and you could come into that environment of Srila Prabhupada, he would give you the service and say, get down here, do it, take it and go. And it's still available. Srila Prabhupada organized the society knowing that that's what everyone needed. They needed to have this engagement, this mission to That's the only thing that would fulfill the desires of the living entity. The prophet says as much in his books. He speaks about how this preaching is practical samadhi, and how when you're engaged in preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to others, then you can actually realize what you're hearing. So Srila Prabhupada gave us this particular method of Krishna consciousness. And it is available through his organization. And we have the opportunity to take on this mood, this individual, spontaneous, and voluntary mood. Otherwise, there's no happiness in life. Without this, there's no happiness. Sankirtan is life. Everything else is boring. And if the soul's bored, then he'll find activity in the material world to preoccupy himself, and then he gets burned. So prophet's pulling everyone out of the burning material life by giving sankirtan, giving real life. So we can... we can feel so happy that he's given us this service. And everyone's invited. No one is left out of this. Anyone who has a desire within their heart, that burning desire, or even a tiny little desire, can connect to this opportunity that Srila Prabhupada has left us. And feel complete fulfillment by taking up service in the Sankirtan movement. This is the real excitement of life. This is where individual, spontaneous, and voluntary atmosphere is available. So, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for engaging us in spreading the Sankirtan movement and for your divine books, which guide us every day and give us the nourishment and fortification to stay free from any tinge of contamination from the material world. And I have to say that it's hearing the previous speakers has also been a bhishma doham. It's nectarian to hear the realizations coming out from the mouths of the devotees who are following Srila Prabhupada. It's especially relishable. It comes out as shukha mukha. It's like it's been tasted actually by them. They've taken it, they've eaten it, they've tasted it, and now they're putting it back. You know, so it's digested, and you can drink it. So we've been drinking the nectar today from the realizations of the devotees who are engaged in this sankirtan, following Srila Prabhupada's mood. And it is very satisfying. Hare Krishna. Now we're preparing. Are you offering? You're making an offering? So are we going to have Pushpanjali soon? After both. Okay. So we have a Boga offering for Srila Prabhupada, and after the Boga offering, then we'll have Pushpanjali. So we can invite more speakers, or we can have bhajan for some time. Are there others who would like to make an offering to you? Navina Nirada Prabhu, please come.
Om Agyanti Nandasya Agyanjana Shalakaya Shakshurmi Taminata Smai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vacha Rampam Gumrangayate Gini Yat Kripada Mahamande Sri Guru Dinatharanam Paramanamaramam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to associate with you on a daily basis by relishing your instructions that you have left for the whole world in the form of your books, your classes, your letters, and especially in the form of your movement which carries on the legacy that you have given, you have established. You are vibrant and alive in your disciples and followers for many generations to come. We have heard wonderful realizations from your disciples and followers, and it is our great privilege to be an eyewitness to so many miracles that are being revealed to us every day. When we see people who come in contact with this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the message of the Hare Krishna movement, you can see how they are becoming electrified and they're turning again back to Krishna. Before they were averse to Krishna, now they're again turning back to Krishna. Because someone who became touched by your movement, by your instructions, has taken up your mission. So I feel very fortunate for the guidance and the shelter of your disciples and followers, and it is a great inspiration to see this miracle unfold practically all around the world. You have perfectly devised the plan, the methodology by which Krishna can be distributed, it can be given to each and every living entity on this planet. And that is your greatest contribution for mankind, because you felt our plight, you felt our suffering, our sorrowful condition, and you took pity upon us. So this day is very significant, very intense and emotional experience. Even though, personally speaking, I have not been part of your presence here on this planet, but I have been able to witness so many of your empowered representatives and to see what you have established here on this planet Earth. So I thank you for your wonderful presence, and I pray to your lotus feet that you please guide me and reveal me my path, how I can become a small part of your plan, of your mission. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for all that you have done for us, and please continue to guide us on this path. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Who else? During my 21 years in Krishna consciousness, I was going through many difficulties in my spiritual life, but when my previous spiritual master, Hare Krishna, was separated from Krishna consciousness, as you all know, I was very, very much in distress. As you know, many, many hundreds of his disciples just left Krishna consciousness after this. And I was just praying to Srila Prabhupada. I just started to remember why I came to Krishna consciousness. And I started to think, to remember, it's all just because of mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Because of his books, because of his voice. And I started to remember that all you need just to have his books, to read his books. No any other books needed in your life. Just you need all books of Srila Prabhupada just to have his tape of his bhajans, Jayarada Madhava. That's all you need in your life. And I started to pray to Srila Prabhupada, what can please help me in my spiritual life. And in my mind, one thought came to my mind that I had to look around and to find somebody who follows the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Not just follow Srila Prabhupada, but his mood of preaching. And I found my spiritual master. Thank you.
As I was chanting a Mangalarti prayers this morning and got to that verse, Nikunja, you know that he came to Siddhya Yali B. Jiva Krishna. And the spiritual master is very expert at assisting the gopis who make at different times make different tasteful arrangements for Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And all of a sudden I just realized this is what Sri Prabhupada has done around the world, is all of our different temples are Nikunjas. He has put Radha and Krishna in different groves all around the world. And our duty is to really assist him in bringing people back to Krishna, back to those groves, bringing people back to where they can reconnect with that Supreme Person, where they can reconnect with their eternal relationship with Krishna. And that for some reason popped up in my head this morning as we were singing. And so I pray to be a part of that mission. I pray to imbibe that missionary spirit of going out to get as many people as possible and try to open as many more groves as possible for Radha and Krishna's enjoyment.
Are there any women that would like to speak, please? Okay, anyone else who would like to come? Yes?
Prabhupada, I am really not grateful to anyone, including to you, but at least on this day I want to thank you for kindly injecting Krishna consciousness into me through the via medium of Raghunath Maharaj, and please bless all the devotees around the world so that they can continue to spread the Sankirtan movement all around the world. Thank you.
Who is next? Take the opportunity.
Yeah. I'll just say one.
I forgot anything, you can come back to.
I forgot to say very, very important the point of my speech, that sometimes, once in a few years, I'm very afraid when some, it is said when some acharya, when acharya left this world, started to begin some bad things, and devotees, they deviate. And the most, what I afraid, when somebody will deviate from Srila Prabhupada's mood, it's very important, his mood of preaching. But yesterday, when I heard Vaisheshika's speech, I started to remember still, even more, after so many years, maybe some devotees will leave this world, but it's, we have hope that so many nice devotees, there are so many nice devotees who will continue this preaching mood. And when I heard Vaisheshika's speech, I just could remember my first days in Krishna consciousness, when we was taught what is most important in our Krishna consciousness life, it's preaching. In our small temple, in my early days in Krishna consciousness, there wasn't any other, no other services, just distributing books. Even cook and pujari, after cooking and making service, they was going out to for book distribution. It was the main point of our life. And because of such devotees, I have hope that this mood will never lose this mood of Srila Prabhupada.
Another chance. Who would like to come up? Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya.